All right. So we're going to start today right at the very beginning. So you guys have notes, something to write down on? We're going to start. Can everyone see here? I'll try and keep everything about there, about the top third or so. We're going to start with the first letter. And what letter is that? Aleph. And Aleph has the value, the gematria value of what? Pretty easy, if you guess. One, right? Okay. So I'm just going to put GEM one. And what does Aleph mean? What does the letter by itself actually mean? Or what does it signify? It signifies, have you, Aleph, you get the word today, Aluf. You know, and today's terminology, that almost means like someone who thinks they're better and they're just aloof there. But what it actually means is one who's set apart or who's different, and also means the champion or a champion. So he is the great one. So that's when you see, if you were to break a word down into the letters, you would get, you could see a lot in a word based on the combination of the letters that are there. That makes sense? A champion who controls everything. And this also comes from, this is connected to, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 4. You can write this down and look at it, or on your own time. This idea of a champion, or aloof, the strong one, or a guide of my youth. You know, you're looking at the first letter, and the first letters, you know, it's like the first of anything, it's the most important. I mean, this represents Hashem, represents God. Every Hebrew verb and most words in general have three root letters. So Aleph is Aleph. What's the second letter in it, you think? If you were going to write out Aleph, Lamed, and then Pei, well, it's, yeah, mm-hmm. And since it's a F sound and not a P sound, there is no little dagesh in there, okay? So you see the three root letters, again, Aleph, Lamed, and Pei, which people say Fei, but it's actually Pei. It just makes an F sound. Adonai is infinite by nature. We talked about this last week. He's infinite. And this is another reason why we don't pronounce his name. Pronouncing his name limits him to that when he's infinite. Some of the examples of this in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, it talks about the one who holds all of the strength, or the one who is just the Almighty, just the everything that's connected with the aloof one, the one who is aloof, the Aleph, God Almighty himself. And the first time this letter appears is in the beginning. It's in Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to see if anyone can read this here. And you should be able to read it because you see it every week. Mm-hmm. Genesis chapter 1. That's Jen. See? All right. Let's change this here. I guess it'd be good if I got my English. How's that? Well, I have it right up there twice. I really don't need it twice. Oh, you know what? Thank you. So I was right after all. So the gematria value is 1, Casey. That's why we had that. G-E-M, A-T-R-I-A. Just the Aleph, which we get the word Aluf from, or the champion, or the one who set apart, the great one, the holy one of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. All of that points back to Aleph. It is Proverbs 3. I don't have the verse. It's just in Proverbs 3. You can read about one who holds all of the strengths is the idea. And who does that point to? God. Okay, so that's the first time it appears. You also see it in Genesis chapter 1. It says, what does that say? Adam, yeah. And we're going to get into the letter. As we get through more letters, we'll be talking about. This is so you have Aleph, Dalet, and then a Mem, Sofit. Aleph, Lamed, He, Mem, Sofit. You guys have that there? I'll give you a second to... Right here? Oh, that's just above Adam. Oh, Elohim. Yeah, see, I mean, we have it right, it's right here, I think. You know, in here, we don't have the... Let me put the... I didn't add the... He's in there, too. Elohim. Hey, let me know if you guys need to keep that, me to keep that on the board for a minute. If not, I'm going to take a picture of it. You guys good? Yeah? Going once, going twice? All right. So a couple words we get that are significant with an Aleph. So we've had Elohim. So this is where, when we go through Gematria, I want to just make mention of something. So the rabbis describe Gematria as, it's not the main meal, it's like an appetizer or dessert. So we don't look at Gematria as the main thing. It's just almost like an embellishment or, not the main meal. So, yeah. Icing on the cake. Yeah, just something. It's not the main thing, but it's there. It's significant in light of the thing. That makes sense? Question, comment, thought? I see a thought bubble popping up. Oh, so Gematria is the numeric value of each letter. So each letter represents a letter, a sound. It also represents a number. And each letter also has a personality. And we'll get into more of that, too, as we go through. But again, focus on the main things. And everything. There's things that are, like Frank said, icing on the cake. So now, Brent, because people hear that, and they've been told for so long by people who reject things verbally, but then intellectually accept them but without saying, and I don't even realize what they're saying. Or accept them and use them when it's convenient for them, but reject them when it's not. But it's important because in Hebrew, I mentioned this to you, there's four levels of Hebrew interpretation. And we're going to get into a little bit of this in the Torah portion today. We're going to come across something that if you read in any other language other than Hebrew, it's not even there. You would never even know. Even the best English, it doesn't bring it out. It's not there. Why? Because there's four levels of Hebrew understanding. There's, and let me just do this really quick while I've got you guys here. Write this down. So in Hebrew, you're always going to see we talk about the names of the rabbis. You hear like Ramban or Rambam. That's always an acronym for something. Even when we say Tanakh, what is the Tanakh? That's an acronym for Torah, Ketuvim, are Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. It's all over the place, these abbreviations. So this one here, P-R-D-S, or just for pronunciation's sake, I put a little A there and a little E. So it's Pardes. Pardes is how it would be pronounced, okay? And these are the four levels of Jewish understanding. That again, if you don't do this, this is why anybody who tries to study the Bible outside of Hebrew, they run into a big problem. They can never get past here. And they can only get past here if and only if the translation is good. And even the good, best translations where people have the right heart, well-intentioned, they can't translate some things into the English because they don't exist. Or you'd have a sentence that's really long and crazy and wouldn't make any sense. Okay, so you guys have the P-R-D-E-S or Pardes. Okay, the first one is Peshat. And that's the level of the basic understanding. You know, Rivka got off of the camel. Well, you know what that is. I mean, you can picture that in your mind. Okay? And if you do have a question, just raise your hand and I'll pause it. Yeah. 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 And it's even bigger than that. They're reading it differently, but there's so much of it. There's so much depth to it that it's not just. The other side of that, it's not just the Peshat, the basic text that Rivka got off of the camel. That's, if you want to stop there and think that that's everything, okay, well, it's not. And it's never been thought of being everything. That's just that layer. So Frank talked about a cake. There's actually, you can look at this as like a four-layer cake. So the Peshat is, the basic understanding. I'm not going to write this down because I don't have room. Basic understanding of the text, yeah. I will. So Peshat is the basic meaning of the text, like Rivka got off of the camel. Basic meaning of the text. Okay? And this stuff is so important, guys, because if you don't understand that there's different levels of this stuff, you won't get it. You'll get stuck on something when you don't know there's more, just because no one's ever told you that in Hebrew it's totally different understanding in the way Scripture is even approached. Yeah. Yeah, you know, can you? Okay. So we've had questions so far about each word, what does it mean? And so I'm letting everyone know verbally. We've talked, and basically what I have on the board right now is PRDS for Pardes. We've gone through the first level of Jewish study and understanding of a scripture is Peshat, the basic understanding. Okay, the second level is called Remes. Now, what does Remes include? It includes Hebrew interpretation. It includes gematria. It includes the letters, the meanings of the letters, the personality of the letters. It includes all of that. For instance, and you guys have heard me say this a lot, and I'll be quiet for a second because I know I can distract you while you're trying to write this stuff down. You know, we talk about how you hear me talk about when they left Egypt, that only 20% came with them. When they left Babylon, only 20% came back. When 20% of the Jews in Israel received Messiah. How does that come up? Because in the words that are used, it says 20%, 20%, 20%. But you won't understand it here in the Peshat level. It's not there. You've got to go down to the next level. That makes sense? So now you know the why that works. And if you do have a question, please, it's a good time to stop and we can, yeah. Now I know where the 80 came from. It may have come from that too.
There you go.
80% of the, mm-hmm. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. All right. And that pops up all over the place, that 80-20 rule. You see it a lot. Anybody else have a question or thought? So basically, the remus is the next layer down, includes the gematria, includes the understanding of the letters. What else did I say? The
personality.
The Hebrew, the personality of the letters. Yeah.
The interpretation.
Yeah, so the interpretation of, yeah. So it's the next layer, digging down. And you'll notice each one is digging down a little deeper. Okay. It's almost like you're going down you're digging a hole to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And instead of ending up in Israel, you end up in China. No, I'm kidding, Someone brought that up recently when I was a little girl. We used to go into the playground and someone said if we dug down deep enough, we'd end up in China. And I remember that as a kid. You remember that? Yeah. So, yes, go ahead, Case. Oh, did you really? Oh, okay. See, there you go. So it's passed on. It's kids I learned about today, too. Okay, so next one. What's that? Oh, what do they say in China? Well, I don't know. Well, if we dig far enough, we'll end up in Fresno. Maybe. Oh, goodness, man. Or in Chinatown, maybe they think they're going to end up in. So, all right. Okay, so Peshat, everyone recognizes. Remez, you hear, I gave you an example of the 120%. The next level is, and you hear this every week, this. Drash. Okay, so what is, somebody want to tell me what drash is? It's a teaching or an interpretation of the scripture. And drash can include the remez, and it can also include just the peshat. But really, at the end of the day, if you don't understand the peshat first, you need to stay there before you do anything else. Because there's a lot of people, they don't understand the peshat, they barely understand the remez, but they want to give a drash on it. And then they do something that is a total no-no, we'll get to here in a minute. So each week we read the Torah portion and I give a drash or a commentary on it. The rabbis, when we talk with the rabbis, said really they're giving a drash based on the remez and the peshat. That makes sense? A midrash or a midrash is it's a commentary. A drash is when someone is giving it. That's kind of the... So we good on that? So when you study something, and I'm going to challenge you, and this is a tough thing to do. When you hear someone teaching, in particular outside of Messianic Judaism, you're going to hear a lot of this, a lot of drash based on peshat with very little or no understanding of remez. And because of that, you know, it's probably good what they're teaching on that, but they can't go down any further because they don't have, you can't get to here without Hebrew. You know, it's also when you're digging down and you go past the drash, you're trying to get to that next level and you hit a plate of iron. And the only way to get through that plate of iron is with a Hebrew bit on your drill. And if you don't have it, you will sit there and you can do whatever you want to do, but you'll never get past that. Shabbat shalom. Okay. So then we get to this fourth level. And this is the dangerous level. This is the level that I tell you don't go to. There's no need to go to it. I rarely ever go to it. Rabbi Shapira rarely goes to it, although he does get to it. Rabbi Bernstein says stay away from it. Because it's it's not necessarily necessary, and it's dangerous, especially when you don't know this first. And that is called sowed. What is sowed? Mystical. So is it mystical and esoteric now? Do these things exist in Scripture? Absolutely. When you have a situation where, as this is, may come up in a teaching I do another time, when we talk about Messiah is an all-consuming fire. Well, okay, what exactly does that mean? You see how that gets kind of in the mystical? The rabbis didn't even like using it. So they wouldn't say that. They would say some other things to describe him because of that. Because you can very quickly get into, when we talk about Kabbalah, the evil side of Kabbalah. Is there a lot of things that you would very much agree with that are tenets of Kabbalah? Absolutely. Because they're all over through Scripture. But once you go into some evil use of some understanding or knowledge, that's the problem. That makes sense? You won't see me here teaching on that because people will get off very quickly. And we had someone at one point who was very, very, very interested in Remus. And I always want to talk about Remus, Remus, Remus. Did you write this down? Just write everything down here. These letters and these letters and that right off to the side. I'll talk to you about it later on. I'll give you the update. So this is, Pardes is the four layers of Jewish interpretation of Scripture. Peshat is the main basic level. Remez is the, has to do with the letters, the gematria value of the letters, what the letters mean, their personality, a different layer. And you can copy this from. Drash is what I do every week when I come and we talk. It's a commentary. And then sowed gets into mystical. When you first start Scripture and you read the first verse in Genesis, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning there was God's, or God in three. Well, right there, that's mystical. What does that even mean? Can you box that? Can you weigh that, measure it, take its temperature? No, you can't. Do we see that as something that's evil? No. Can you use it as something evil? Can I give you a nice glass of water to drink on a hot day that's refreshing to you? Yeah. Can I take that same glass of water and try and drown you with? Yeah. Well, I'm saying that's a difference. Yeah, go ahead. Can you naturally put limitations on it? In the beginning, there was God's. Because that's what it says. It says Elohim. In the beginning, there was God's. But what's it talking about? We understand that that's the triune nature of God together, because they're together. Even within the word, they're together. It doesn't say in the beginning there was Eloh or Eloi, Eloh. In the beginning, there was a God. It doesn't say this. It says, Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, there was gods. But it's not saying gods like there were Roman gods. It's not saying that. It's talking about the triune nature of God. We're going to talk more about at some point differentiating between things that are outside of time and space and the things that are within time and space. Yeah.
As I mentioned, I keep a Kiva in my search engine, yeah. And a book popped up called The Book of Formation, or Sefer Yetzirah.
Yeah.
And they seem to have accredited this book to Akiva.
Yes, but...
Which somewhat took me by surprise, and then I read a little deeper that it had to do with mysticism.
Yeah. Well, see, that's... Okay, so that's what I'm getting at. So in the beginning there was God. Is that mystic? Is that outside of time and space? Is that something we can see here and measure here and calculate? We can't. There's a lot of things that happen outside of time and space that don't happen within time and space. And it's something you want, if you want to try and get your brain around, you can't. We know Akiva was a, you know, his parents were Gentiles who converted, converted to Judaism. And he's, I mean, widely respected and known. So does it exist? Absolutely it exists. It's all through Scripture. But we don't recognize it as such. But can you take that and then go off and go evil with it? I mean, can you take it into Madonna's Kabbalah? Yeah, you can. That's the problem. Can you take Yeshua into some type of mystical? Yeah, absolutely. Witches do all the time. They have upside down crosses and they use regular crosses. You see, if you get on, well, just culture, you know, those in the music business who have no connection with God, they always want to have a cross or a cross is hanging, all this kind of stuff. Same kind of idea. As it relates to Akiva, now, we know how much, and he comes up again, and I'm going to bring his name up again during the Torah portion. He was highly respected, and when he lived, there was no internet, there was no nothing. When you, on Shabbat, you were studying for hours. During the week, what were you doing? You were studying Torah. And he was so excited about Judaism, he became a great rabbi, and his parents were Gentiles. They were Gentile converts. But the Jews looked at him as, you know, you hear about him, legendary. So you can imagine how much Peshat he knew. You can imagine how much Remez he knew. You can imagine how much the Drash he heard, the Midrash he's read. That, you know, I would say, you look at somebody, the person that I know now who has the most... of all of this that I know by far is Rabbi Shapira. Rabbi Bernstein has some things in here that he studied a particular section of that is just incredible, but he doesn't quite have the Hebrew that Rabbi Shapira has. So why am I saying that? You take somebody like Akiva who lived at a time where, you know, he just dove into it. This is the kind of idea of understanding. But the idea is this layer here, you've got to be extremely careful with. And, you know, you'll hear sometimes if we ever play a video with Pastor Matt, you may hear somebody make a reference to the Holy Zohar. And that just sounds like, oh my gosh, when you hear some, if you don't know any better. But it's a reference, a lot of the things he's pointing to point to Messiah, where even the rabbis who were into Kabbalah, they were looking and they were seeing things that were pointing to Messiah that they didn't understand. So what I'm telling you is that I say the same thing that Rabbi Bernstein says about Kabbalah and these things. You know, he would say, don't run from it, but don't run to it. It is what it is. It exists, but you really have no point in going to it at all. So I'm going to tell you, don't go to it at all. There's no point to, because as soon as you get here, you take this, you're diving into the deep end, and you can quickly drown and not understand. And when you see people, we've had a few people who've come here. One person came here for one time and wanted to pull me aside with a bunch of this. I said, wait a minute. And I could tell you exactly who they've been listening to. And I said, no, we don't do that here. And that's what they wanted. That was tickling their ear to the Messianic. I said, no, uh-uh. If you're going to come here, and if you can't tell me the Peshat, what's going on, the main idea of the Torah portion, then you have no way, and you don't know Hebrew, and you're not studying Hebrew, you can't even get into this. And so when you get here on Drash, what are you going to even talk about? What's your commentary on when you don't know the basic understanding, you don't know Hebrew? What are you going to talk about? And when I say no Hebrew /... really, for us, it's learning, and have a learning by a teacher who's actually learning or knows. See what I'm saying? So the mystical, we don't get it. We just, a lot of people, they hear one thing, they know a couple of Hebrew words, and they want to just dive into this. And, yeah, it's like, no. But you'll hear holy Zohar. Was it holy? It's set apart. It's set apart for a purpose to, you know, discuss the things of God. But it can get into mystical things, but it's not all terrible. But again, I don't know if I've ever quoted from it here, maybe once, I don't know. But it's not something that is, unless it's something that is really pointing to Messiah or necessary, I just, you know. But I never want you guys to feel like you don't know, you've never been taught. No, he's never brought it up. I don't know what it is. Because there are places that will never bring it up. You'll never know what it is or never talk about it and tell you what something is, that something is fire, stay away from it. And give you or they'll tell you that with no understanding why. That makes sense? Okay, so any other thoughts or comments on that? Okay, so I'm going to erase this part of the board because that was kind of an aside, just to. Okay, so what we're talking about today, yeah, go ahead.
I think Shapira touched upon it in one of his books, maybe.
Yeah.
The
7 or 8 attributes of God, yeah.
What is it, 6 that men have, 7 that Jesus
had, and then like, talking about the attributes of God. Yeah, and so, again, I'll leave that up to him to touch on, but when he does it, he's doing it for a messianic reason.
Okay.
So that's kind of that difference.
Yeah. No, I found it very interesting. I enjoyed
it.
Thank you.
It's good. And, you know, if you can enjoy it in a mature way, it's wonderful. If you're enjoying it in a way that's tickling your ears and you just want to dive into that and forget everything else, that is crazy. And I've seen people go off. We know of people we've mentioned before who have left Messianic, renounced Messiah, and just jumped into, we've talked about, I'm not going to mention any names, you know who I'm talking about. That's the danger of it. And there were signs that that person was going in that direction. They were warned over and over and over, but they kept on going. Why? Because it was tickling their ear, and they wanted to hear that, and they just dove off the deep end into the deep end of soul. Yeah.
I think the problem is when people have an agenda, and they're trying to manipulate the information for furthering whatever goals they have.
There you go, too. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, that's in Judaism. That's in Christianity. If you're going to manipulate anything for evil, you can do it. Okay, so back to, again, the letter Aleph means champion or great one. The gematria value is 1. And so we got a couple different words here I want to talk about. I think you in the back, you know what this is? Anybody know what this is? Mr. Blue Shirt in the back? Huh? Well, what is it? What does it say? Av. And what does Av mean? Father, thank you. I'm trying to call you because I know you know it. He actually, he may seem shy, he knows a whole lot and reads wonderfully. And what is this here? What does that mean? Huh? Well, yes, it does, but in this... Right, but in this context, it's mother. It's from, give me one sec here. Yeah, ima is a derivative of this. But this means mother. Yeah, ima. So he's, right here you go, okay, so here you go. That's actually would be a mem. And now my... Hang on a sec, because I'm thinking about 5 different things here. Okay, mother. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Got that. Okay, and I'm trying to remember. Here we go. And you said ima. Yeah, and so back to the same thing, depending on how you pronounce it, because you could do the same thing here. But for the sake of what we're doing, what's that?
We can't see
I won't go any lower than that. Okay. One-third. Say it right here. I won't go any lower than that. Okay. So we have mother, And you'll hear Ima, but it's the same thing. It's the same letters. And father, Av, like Avraham. And so we talked about
In Urdu, father is Abu.
Abu, okay.
And mother is Ami.
Ami, see? Very close. Very close. Give me one sec to find my thing here.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there any relation to, like, the imam?
It's probably in there, too.
No.
It's the same root. You know, when you start getting into Arabic, you know, you're even closer to Hebrew. Okay, so then when you get to, again, gematria value of Av and Am, if you add these together, you get 44. Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Aleph 1 here, and when we get to Mem, we are at, now I've got to think. That would be the 4. That would be 40. Alphabet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Malzai, Tep, Yud. But try, yeah. So 40. So 40 plus 2, 3, 4, 44, right? And we mentioned Aleph is 1. And who is Aleph? God, I'm supposed to God for. He is the Aluf. So when you add, do that, I got one more word for you. We also have the word, and you know what that says? That's a Dalet and a Mem Sofit. Say it. Dam. So what's Dam? Blood. Okay. And what is, so the value of, we said Mem is 40. And we know that Dalet is the fourth letter, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. So what number does it represent? 4. 4. So what do you get? Equals 44, right? So we see a mother and a father equal 44, blood equals 44. What do you get when you add, you take Dom? And you add an Aleph to it. What do you get? What name is that? Adam. So you get 1, 4, 40. So you get 45, right? What do you get when you have father, mother, plus God? What do you get? You get 45 again, right? So you see this connection between the Almighty Himself, God, the day Adam was created. We see this in the same chapter, chapter 1. And Scripture tells us that God created man in His own image, father and mother, 44, and we see blood. So we see this. We see what happens when the father and the mother come together. The natural plus adding God equals a 45. We've heard it. You talk about the seed or the life is where? In the blood. So when you're looking at Hebrew, this is all part of it. This is all there that you can't see in any other language but Hebrew. It comes up. So when the rabbis looked at these names and letters, they didn't just see something we would see just in English. They saw all of this is in there. Proving God, it all speaks to the creation. father, mother, plus God, it equals the same thing in gematria. Yeah.
So, with the Aleph, Dalet, and Mem, could that be saying that when God created Adam,
mm-hmm.
it was God's blood?
People, you can look at it like people would say something like that. Again, that's kind of, that can get into like a mystical kind of thing. But the understanding is the same thing. You hear in the Christian church, you know, this seed came from the Holy Spirit to impregnate Miriam. So you see the same kind of idea that exists. But when it's proving what God is doing, you can see the significance of it, yeah.
So then it could be what was translated as God created man in his own image.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because in Judaism, it's said and understood that everyone has what's referred to as the divine spark or a divine spark or a little part of God. Because they're part of his creation. And so within that, when we're looking at people, even the most evil people were called to basically search out for that divine spark within them. In other words, you've heard the term, there's good, there's some good in everybody. That all goes back to this idea. Go ahead, Casey.
So then what's to stop you from just comparing any two words that have the same value, even if they're not related?
Well, so that's a good question. What's to stop you? Well, there isn't anything to stop you other than you stopping yourself. However, that being said, that's all part of it, because when you have the same letters in a word, there's a connection. When you have the same numeric value, there's a connection too. But again, this is at a deeper level. This is in the remus. This isn't in the level of Peshat, the basic understanding. This is digging deeper to a deeper understanding of things. For instance, when you have a word like, let me think for a second, I can't think of the word. But no, so that's where the idea comes in, that if you can continue to take things away from the central understanding of Scripture, you can go both directions. You can do it for evil or just understanding that has no connection, but you can see the connection here with just the names and the letters. Go ahead.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant if two words that are unrelated have the same value,
then they are related. There's an understanding that they are related, that
even
there is
if
a relation
like
to them.
Just
yeah,
completely
just,
unrelated.
And we see it when we go through Rivka, when he's talking about the camel driver in Mashiach, or the donkey driver, because that's what they called him, and you see the value of that is the same. There's a connection there that you can look into. When you start looking at this too, here's the other part. You'll hear me talk more and more about things that happen outside of time and space, things within time and space. God operates outside of time and space. We operate in a little finite way, and there's God. He's operating totally outside of time and space, outside of our understanding, outside of our ability to understand him fully. We never will. Outside of our ability to see him, control him, touch him, all of these things. We operate in this one little pinprick on earth of everything. And our little understanding compared to everything, we have no understanding compared to everything. You know, when Scripture says that your righteousness is like filthy rags, does that mean when you do something good, it's, oh, that's terrible? No, it's saying that compared to him, it is. Yeah. Thoughts? Questions? Because I'm not going to go any further today because we're running out of time, or we've run out of time. But everyone has the spark of God, some of God in them. So this idea is also connected to when you look at someone and you say, when you look at someone doing something just evil, say, and you think, well, you can ask them, why are you not, are you forgetting that you have the spark of God within your life, within you? Or when people give up, a lot of people we got to deal with who give up on things. It's the same idea. Do you recognize there's a spark of God in you that you shouldn't give up, that you should continue. God's still in you working. Hallelujah. And if you look at the Aleph, how important it is to have this spark of God. Well, the first man ever created, what did he have? God put his name, gave him his name. His name is basically imprinted on him. You know, we talk about Sarah and Abraham and Jacob and all these ones that God gave them a new name or added to their name. We talk about when we go, you know, when we stand before God, we'll be given a new name. All this stuff is connected to this, the first name that was given. Amen. I've got so much here. Let me see if there's anything else I want to. Jeremiah chapter 11. You can make note. This is the chapter where you can look in and see. It's going to talk about the aloof or the set apart one or the champion. And take a time this week and read through that chapter and see if you can see which verse is talking about describing God in this way. Because in Hebrew, it actually says it. In English, you'll see the idea of it. Hebrew actually says it. So again, the name Adam comes from two words, right? Comes from the aluf, from God. And it comes from Dam, blood. So you can look at it and you could even read it, the blood of God. And who is it that comes together when they're making, when they are married and they make a baby, especially the first time they come together, they cut a blood covenant with one another. The woman, there's blood involved in the covenant that takes place, and that connects them to God, and the Spirit of God connects with them, forming another person, forming another Adam, another man from God's blood, from the covenant of God's blood. Yeah.
Couldn't you also take it as because of what happened with Adam and Eve, that's why we need God's blood to purify us?
Well, I mean, then you get to, you get to Yeshua and the blood of Yeshua. But even prior to that, then you get to blood sacrifice, something for the remission of sin. What has to happen? Something has to die. Something has to shed its blood. Something has to give its life. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You see that idea of something giving its life as payment. And you, this whole mother thing, you hear Ema, all derivatives of that. I just want to mention that to you. In the book of Jeremiah, I said 3:4. In Hebrew, it says, guide of my youth. In Hebrew, what it says is aluf neore. Neore means, naori means youth. So the light of my youth. And if you look at the word naori, you see ori in there. What is ori? Well, or is light. And you add an I, my light. So you see it in that, even in that word, the light, my light, the light of my youth. Again, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 4. You also see connections to this in Isaiah 7, 8 with this idea of God created, I don't have it in front of me, but the idea God creates good with evil or with lesser. You know, when we're born, when after Adam and Eve had the first child, after sin, well, what happens? God still creates a baby, but now it has a spark of God, but it also has some evil with it because it has a baby who's born into natural sin. Isaiah 7, 8, some understanding of that. So this stuff is really deep, but again, it's all there in Hebrew. So any last thoughts, comments? We're over time, but I don't want to. Yeah. Did you have your hand up? Yeah.
That word, ori, how do you spell it?
O-R-I. Ori.
Mm-hmm. That was my son's name as a child growing up.
Oh, really?
Didn't know what it meant.
Oh, that's what it means. Yeah, it means, so or Or means light, and then I, or like when Abraham from the land of Ur, it's the same connotation, the land of light. Yeah, and it's spelled, it would be spelled, so that would be it in Hebrew. Yeah. Orin. You know, adding the N, I'm not sure exactly on that, but if you can still break the name apart and still get the or in it. So, and we even talked, like, even in Torah portion a few weeks ago, Beth Peor, Bet Peor, and last year I talked about, if you look at those two names, Bet House, Peor is a, Pe is a mouth, or is light, so a house of a mouth of light, and talking about a, like a prophet. But it can be false light too. It can be, so like Balaam and trying to, you know, Balaam and Balak, that whole story too. So again, but see how you're thinking, see how the wheels are turning? So when you get into Hebrew, that's what you end up getting. You can get a lot of that where the wheels will keep turning and it's infinite. It's not something that is, it will never be exhausted. You know, and when scripture talks about, you hear people say, it says, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. When Hebrew doesn't say that, because people think, they think technology, what it's referring to. It's not referring to that, although, is technology increasing the end days? Yeah. But it says the knowledge of Torah, the knowledge of the ways of God will increase. And you can, technology has helped that as well. But that's the specific thing that's talking about. So, all right, any last questions or... And with that, we are done.